Good evening, and thank you for joining us in Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are so glad that you're joining us this evening. We have been talking from Terrorized Bible Study, Cultivated Heart, and we are in Matthew, the Beatitudes, which is chapter 5. The last verse is verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
Okay, now read it further. We need to go further.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead and read through 12.
I like Tanya's version better.
Tanya, you read 11 and 12.
God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way.
Okay. All right. What is the section that follows after this persecution? What does Jesus immediately start to talk about?
The salt and the earth.
The salt and the earth. Okay, mm-hmm. You guys, I have to share this.
It's the salt and light.
Mm-hmm. The salt and the light on the earth. Okay, listen to this. This is so, so awesome.
I was reading in Ezra this week.
You were?
Yes, I was fascinated.
You were?
Yes.
Okay.
I wasn't.
There's a you were reading in it.
It was in Revelation.
Okay, let me give you a good one. I finished the book of Revelation. Actually, I finished Grant's Bible. I've been reading through the Bible. My son's so excited because now he gets to read through the Bible that Mommy and Daddy prayed for the last 2 years for him.
Oh, sweet.
I actually finished early this year. And so he's so excited he gets to start it.
Imagine that.
But listen to this. I want you to think, okay, he's talking about blessed are the persecuted. Blessed are the persecuted. Guys, I'm going to start crying. All right, if you are listening, I really want you to hear this. This is so important. And then he follows that section with the salt and the light. Sometimes in the obscurity of Scripture, we can read passages and totally blow it away and not pay attention to it. And in Ezra 7:22, there's a little itty-bitty phrase. And he's listing out all these things that in this letter of King Artaxerxes in behalf of Ezra. And so this is like a list of things that he wants Ezra to have, okay, in the rebuilding. And he says on verse 22, and I'm just going to read the last section, but it's talking about the silver, the wheat, and the wine, and the olive oil that's being sent. And then it says, and salt without limit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want you to listen to me on this. Jesus just finished talking to the disciples about that they are blessed when they are persecuted. They are blessed when those insult them, mock them, and make fun of them. And Scripture always ties in with the rest of Scripture. And I read this week, Charles Spurgeon said, salt is representative symbolically of grace.
Mm-hmm, I love that.
And to say salt without limit. Wow. We have grace without limit. So when we are dealing with persecution, when we have persecution coming, when somebody mocks us, when somebody's making fun of us, when somebody, just is ridiculing our Christianity, we have grace without limit. We have the salt without limit. And you never, ever have to wonder if you are going to have enough grace.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and this is profound because mm-hmm. then he goes into that we are called to be the salt and the light.
Mm-hmm.
Full of grace.
Full of grace. And we are called in 1 Peter to grow in the knowledge of grace. I mean, mm-hmm. all of this about grace and that the salt is what preserves. And that's the reason why.
I like that. Preserves. It preserves relationships.
It preserves. Yes.
Grace does.
Yes. Yep. And so the thinking through this, perfect. How powerful that is when we think of as circumstances come our way, as we are in a situation and we can see that envy, strife, jealousy, attitude come our way. And we can cry out and say, let me be salt without limit.
Yeah.
Let me become the grace of God that is without
judgment,
without anger, without any of that, that we become the fullness of what God intended
mm-hmm.
without limit. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's powerfully huge, the impact that will have upon people. So what we're going to do now today, we're going to actually, I want you to think about as we are looking through and examining, blessed are those who are persecuted. I want us to think, we've listed off several. What are some of the things in our hearts that are unplowed ground Let's go back to the Hosea 10:12, and it says, sow for yourselves righteousness and reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up the unplowed ground that's within your hearts, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. Salt without limit is representing it's time. There is a call to us as believers to be so salty that without limit we give grace. That we give the knowledge of grace, of his love and his mercy and the tenderness of who he is when we have things come our way. So what are some of the things that have to be broken up inside us in order for that to happen?
Selfish ambition.
Pride.
Those
bitterness, anger.
Unforgiveness.
Want. Desires. Expectations.
Agendas.
These we're listing our sins. In case you're listening, if you ever sit under a teacher long enough, you guys listening, you know our sins because we're going to be talking about them because we can't talk about these things without having God convicted us of these sins.
Judgments.
These are all our sins. Every single sin that was just listed, I have those sins.
I do too.
And I am constantly confessing them, you know, and by God's grace and mercy, he says, I am faithful and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he says, I want you, my beloved, my child, be my salt without limit. Be my salt without limit. I want you to go out and preserve the lives and be my salt.
I love that.
As he did for me and you. Absolutely.
And I know.
You and
didn't it make you want to cry? I mean, this morning, I was just like, God, this is so amazing. He's so
it's
good to
us. Very profound, but it's...
You know, another thing that I think, and this is such a moment-by-moment thing, and I'm majority of the time not like this, but God's given me understanding and maybe even eyes to see persecution for what it is, who it really comes from. It's straight from the enemy, and he's trying to divide, he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy.
And remembering that it's not the person.
We don't war against flesh and blood. Our war is in the with the what?
Spiritual dominions, dominions, and legions. That's they are out to do the destruction. But the blessing of that is that when the attack comes, that God allows us, he allows us to be sifted for a season because it's what will grow our character.
Absolutely.
And he refines us. Okay, now you think about salt. Salt usually comes in a nice big rock chunk. But in order for salt to be usable for different things, because they throw salt rock on the freeways to stop the ice.
Right.
But I don't want to grab a salt rock to put on my, you know, dinner table for us to eat. Do you?
No.
This is a not good today. Analogy.
It
this
really is.
Great.
It has to be ground down to a fine little speck so that it can be where I can put it on something to make it tasty. Now let's go back to the very first thing, as blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will receive the kingdom of God. I was remembering because it's like, and then it's the kingdom of heaven now with the blessed are the persecuted. They had to become crushed paupers. As salt, we've got to allow God to grind down what's going on in us so that we can be that salt without limit. Because if I came as a boulder or salt, I'd knock somebody over. Go ahead.
I'm reading a book called Reflecting God by Kay Smith. It's amazing. But she talks about this, you know, the persecution, the trials that are going to come. And in James 1:12, it said, blessed is a man who endures trials, because when he passes the test, he will receive the crown of life. That he has been promised to those who love him.
Amen.
I mean, think about your eternal reward. If you can get past all the other stuff. I mean,
that's right.
The eternal perspective in your trial and your persecution is so much bigger and grander.
It really changes the way you want to respond, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It changes the way that we want to react.
But it takes going through each one of these beatitudes, being crushed, and then going through these to reduce what we think of this life.
It does,
doesn't
it?
You understand
what
I'm saying?
Until I come to a place where I'm willing to be a crushed pauper before God, allow him to cleanse me of all unrighteousness that's in me, grieving and mourning and wailing over my sins. Mm-hmm. One of the things that happens, sadly, oftentimes when somebody is in a circumstance, I've been going back and asking the question, what's the main belief behind the circumstance? And so I was confronted with a situation. Somebody came and asked me a question, and it was a tough question because it dealt with just poor decisions on the part of the person. I said, and I think that it comes down to this person doesn't have an understanding of the love of God. Mm. And until you have an understanding of the love of God, you're not going to be willing to become that crushed pauper. And until you have an understanding of the love of God, you're going to be afraid to confess the sin. Mm-hmm. But when you understand the love of God is so deep and so profound and loves you so much that he was willing to send his son to come and die on this earth for you, then you're going to be willing to say, you know what, I'm willing to recognize my sins. I'm willing to come and confess my sins before you. Because I know that when I bring in confession that which is not of God inside me, I know that you're going to replace that confession with a fruit of the Spirit that will be evident in me. And so it removes that spirit of fear of recognizing the sin. Mm-hmm. But someone who does not have an understanding of the love of God, they're afraid to become crushed before God because the fear of what they will see in the wrath of God, because they don't understand the love of God.
That's right.
And so it comes down to is that he loved us first. Mm-hmm. And getting ourselves to understand the love of God that we have. And once that love is understood, then all of these other things that are listed here in the Beatitudes, it's like you run to it.
Yeah.
You're not afraid of it.
You fall in love with him, so you really desire these things.
Yeah.
You desire to see his face, to be pure in spirit, to be merciful, to reflect him.
Yeah.
Just as your book said.
It's so important.
But how do we fall in love with him? How do we get to know with him? We got to be with him, right? He's written this awesome love letter to each one of us, and we got to sit with him and hear from him and learn about his unbelievable love.
And that is only done through reading
his
the Bible,
mm-hmm.
reading the Bible and reading it on a regular basis,
mm-hmm.
getting beyond the Russian roulette Bible of, I'm in a crisis, so I'm just going to flip it open, put my finger down and see what it says. Literally a day in, day out conversation mm-hmm. of reading through the Word of God. And I know your church does an awesome job in providing a 1 year or 2 year plan. So somebody could contact Calvary Chapel here in Omaha and can get a plan. I know Westside Church has a plan that's going on for starting in January, where we're going to have a plan where our entire church wide is going to be reading through the Bible.
Awesome.
It is the key factor in making a difference in our lives. I know my life, I accepted Christ as a young teenager, but nobody told me to read my Bible. I was a soul who was saved, but I was not a growing saint.
Right.
Okay. And it wasn't until I dealt with incredible yuck because of sin that was in my life, because I did not know what the Word of God said. I walked a major path of sin and really was on the path of destruction. But then I was confronted with the Word of God and began to read my Bible daily. And through that reading of the Bible daily, transformation began to happen so rapidly in my life that people just assumed that maturity was there all of my life. But it wasn't there during a very large time period, probably 8 years from 9, 10, maybe somewhere in there of my life, because I did not have the Word of God embedded in my mind and in my heart and in my soul. Once I began to do the reading of the Word of God and seeing what God had to say and allowing him to do his spiritual transformation of my heart, mind, and soul, that's when I really began to grow.
Yeah.
And that's when I began to taste salty.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that both of you can testify to that in your own lives as well, can't you?
Both of ours and multiple other people. I love it. And he so wants to do it in each one of yours out there too. And just that we would get beyond being a church that's fed by a pastor each week, weekend, you know, every Sunday, and become self-feeders is the term that our pastor likes to use. And it's so true. That's all of our ultimate goal, right?
Yes.
For each one of us, each one of you out there, is that you would be self-feeders of getting in your word and just calling out to God before you even start and asking for His Spirit to teach you, to open up your heart to what God has for you today in His word.
I'd love for you to contact us on our website at terrorrye.com or cultivatinghearts.org, and I have numerous different Bible plans that I've used through the years, as well as resources on how to study more in depth of different websites that you can contact on prayer and praying for the nations through missions, Bible resources, Bible commentaries. I have my precious husband updates on a regular basis a resource thing sheet for me, and I'd be more than happy to email it to you if you need that resource, because it really makes a difference when we have that working in us, and it's a life transforming fact.
It is, absolutely.
It's a fact.
It is a fact. We are testifying of the amazing work that God has done each one of us and several people that we know. How does Adam say it? It's from, you may start where it's the D words. It may be drudgery at first, move to be a discipline.
Discipline, and then becomes
a delight. A delight in your life. So if you would just take the time, and God will see your
attempt. It does start out as a drudgery for those, you know.
It sure does.
Because you don't. It's hard. I started maybe 5 or 6 years ago, but I didn't know a word. I didn't know anything. Never had done it ever in my life. So I didn't understand very much. God just gives you enough that you can absorb at that time, I think.
Yeah.
And then the next year and the next year and the next year, it's that much more exciting. And every day it's like, oh, I can't wait to get in my word.
That's it. I wake up excited to go study my Bible. And honestly,
it's
I
like
get angry.
Coffee with Jesus.
Yes, I get angry if something messes with my time with God. You know, it's like righteous indignation happens within me, and I have to guard my mouth so that I don't let that come out, because that's precious. That time is so precious. And I know that I am so quick to fall out of my Christianity if I've not been in the Word of God. So quick. We're so glad that you have been listening to Cultivating Hearts, and we want you to come back, because we have 2 more weeks on Blessed Are the Persecuted, and then we will begin a series called Daybreak. And we also wanted to help you be mindful. If you get Mandy Mouse Lives at Lydia House, you can find that Amazon, on the internet, search the book. That book, all the royalties go to help the Open Door Mission, which is our sponsor, and we just praise the Lord for the Open Door Mission. You can contact them at opendoormission.org and give donations to them for the ministry. God bless.